Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy,
toppy, toppy.
It's Burkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ellis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Hello, welcome to a Burkamp Wonderland. How the devil are we all? There's only 12 of you. Where the hell is everyone? What's going on? We've given up valuable time here for you lot. And there's 12 of you, yeah? 13. You better start wising up a lot of you. Don One was first in the chat box, followed by Michael Hahnemann. Then Danny, the GFP. Who's that geezer? Loki 73's in there. Drow the Gooner's in there. Dave Michael, Jackosaurus. Omar's is in there. Alonzo Spencer, the magnificent Alonzo Spencer's there. Stephen Edwards, Pablo Amar. Hello, one and all. How the devil are we? Welcome to Burkamp Wonderland. Oh, Guardian Dundee has just popped in and lost this. Look at them, the good old favourites. Hope we're all well. Hope we're enjoying the summer. It's just been a bit bonkers, isn't it? What a couple of weeks. Jay Charmans is asking, where's Ellis? He's on the run. Archie's there. Stelios Stylianou. Hello, everyone. Tonight, I'm joined by, it's a rather stellar lineup. First and foremost, from the London Evening Standard, but more importantly, from the Burkamp Wonderland, it's Simon Collings. It's Spidey. How are you, pal?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all the better for speaking to you, bro. It's been too long.
It has been too long, yeah. I've been enjoying the live shows. I enjoyed Dave's on Monday night, was it? The impromptu one. That was very good.
Yeah, it was good, isn't it?
And we didn't have much of an off-season, did we? We've had less pre-season. We've had less off-season than the pros.
Well, you know, not being funny, that's the way we roll, okay? You can rely on us.
That's true.
We get our signing sorted, you know. We don't mess about. You know, your hair's looking very fetching tonight, pal.
Oh, thank you very much. I did it especially for the 12 people who sat here watching us.
There's 28 now.
Oh, 28. Oh, fucking hell. Well, there we go.
Yeah. It's on the up now, pal. Okay, they've heard you're in the house. And bingo. It, all of a sudden, things start happening. It's, we're later than normal. And, let's introduce the next guest. I would normally say it's my brother from another mother. I would normally say he's the one and only. But dear listener, I'm not happy with him tonight. He only went to get a tattoo, okay, of cross-dressing Jesus Christ, right? And he was late. He's late coming back. I don't know what's going on. What's happening? Say hello, John Welsh.
Hello, John Welsh. I'm sorry, guys. I've got no excuses. You know, I said I'd be back in time, and then the tattoo took longer. I didn't wimp out or anything. I sat there the whole time, taking all the pain, suffering. It just took longer than I thought, and then I got stuck in traffic. So I'm sorry, everyone. We started later than we're supposed to.
You're forgiven because you went straight in with, hello, John Welsh. If you'd just said hello, John, you would not have been forgiven. But you're a listener, and that's what I love about you. The magnificent J-Rob has just donated a couple of quid, and he says, hello, chaps. J-Rob, you're a rock star. You're far, far too generous, and it's great to see you in that box. Thank you very much, mate. Okay, lads, let's get to it. Lots to talk about. End of last week, they covered it a bit on the last show as well, but I just want to go over it with you two guys. The Koscielny situation. We're going to try to do this in chronological order, guys, so bear with us. Koscielny, lads, I'm going to start with you, Si. Obviously, you know, this is your profession. It was a bit of a shock when the news came through that he wasn't prepared to travel to the States. You know, he's happy to take the club's money when he was injured. You know, he's happy not to give anything back when he screws up in a final. That's fair enough. That's in his contract. From a journalistic perspective, what were your view? What's your view on the events of this? And what's your view on the club letting it get to this stage?
Well, it was, I think we were all pretty shocked when it came out, weren't we? And also the manner in which it came out, because, I mean, we know how Arsenal act in the media, that they're not, you know, not the sort of club that very often puts statements out. And for them to put a statement out explaining the situation, I think underlined perhaps the annoyance at it, the shock at it, and also from a media point of view, how they're trying to control it, I think, because if Koz had just been left out of the tour squad, all the questions would have been coming in. What's going on? Is he that? By putting the statement out, I think Arsenal tried to get on the front foot and control it. The interesting thing so far is that other than a few comments from Olivier Giroud, a few comments from Arsene Wenger, we haven't really heard Koscielny's side. Because, we'll talk about it between us, but for me, it's so out of character from Koscielny. It's really, you know, for the sort of player who's, you know, one of Arsenal's longest-serving players, for him to go on strike, there must be more to it than him simply not getting moved. He must have been given, you would think, some sort of promise, some sort of guarantee that he can go. Because it's, for him just to be doing this to get a move, for me, I can't believe that. I think there must be something more going on. And the interesting thing is when we hear from Koscielny's side, what's going on? Because at the moment, it's Arsenal leading it, and rightfully so. I think they've done the right thing by putting the statement out, by being on the front foot. But with Koscielny not saying anything, he's not really doing himself any favours. So that's going to be the interesting thing for me. Because at the moment, we've only got the club side, and we don't really know what the player's thinking. But
no, fair enough. Just before I go on here, the magnificent Michael Hahnemann, he piles in with a fiver. Mike, it's the same old faces. I can't believe it. And Mike says, so I see we can beat Bayern when it doesn't matter. Ooh, cheeky. Yeah, look, I'm highly critical of Koscielny because I rate him so highly as a player. This is totally out of character. I slightly disagree with you in respect of the way the club have handled it. I thought that statement, okay, they're annoyed, that's fine, but they are his employer. It hung him out to dry, okay? If that's a player we want to keep, and you look at last season's performances, okay, and centre-backs that we do have, that is a player we want to keep, right? And, you know, we want to keep him for another year, and that sort of behaviour, it's not something the club has ever done in my memory. Okay, I thought it was cheap. I thought it was unbecoming of the club. I think there's 1,000 different ways they can handle it and still be strong with the player. Yes, Koscielny is in the wrong. He's absolutely in the wrong. He has no excuses. Like we said pre-show, like we said earlier on, sorry, he's happy to take his money when he's injured, when he doesn't contribute to the team for a year. He's happy to do that. And his behaviour is despicable. But so is the club's. John, your thoughts on this?
Take yourself off mute. You can tell I haven't been on for a while.
You frigging moron.
I'm bleeding everywhere, mate. I'm trying to do this and do the things. And right, Koscielny. I tend to agree with Simon. I do think there's obviously going to be something more to it than we're being told. Whether he was told by the club that when he got to this point in his contract, he would be allowed to move if he wanted to. Maybe it was something Arsene said to him. And since then, obviously, the club has changed and whatever. And he thought that was...
Sorry, John. John, bear with me, okay? If Arsene said that to him, that's fair enough. But we've had a change of board. We've had a change of management. We've had a change of manager. Arsene's promises mean nothing now.
I'm not saying it's Arsene's fault or anything else.
But he's not stupid enough to think anything Arsene Wenger said holds any water now.
I'm not sure. I think you might give players in general a little bit too much credit. So I assume there's something else going on behind the scenes. As for it being, it's very out of character for the club. And it's weird because we've got fans complaining about no clarity on the amount of money we've got or who we're going to sign or anything like that or actual targets. But then they come out and do something like this, which is the complete opposite because Arsenal traditionally to keep everything in-house, nothing ever leaks. It's not official till it's on .com or, you know, it was like in the actual newspaper from an Arsenal official before you had the internet and everything else. I actually quite like it because it sends out a message of the club's in charge, not the players. We don't care who you are. This is different. This is not a 25-year-old who is a valuable asset for the club that you can sell on and maybe make some money on. This is a guy who we all know is past his best. Let's be honest, no one particularly wants in the team next season. I agree that, yes, we are short defensively.
He was our best defender last season.
He also makes the biggest mistakes in the biggest games. You know, like Michael Hanneman's point, you could make the joke that the reason we beat Bayern Munich was because Szczęsny weren't playing. Because he's got a habit of falling on the floor whenever we do. So I don't have an issue with the way the club are dealing with it. I prefer we do this sort of thing more often because the club should be in charge. And hopefully it's a warning shot to other players that you cannot act like this and you will be hung out to dry. And just bombard the media. If you have to make him look like a complete arsehole, you do. Because at the end of the day, I like Szczęsny. He's been great and everything. Really good servant for the club. Has made some high profile errors. But for me, as a fan, the club's more important than a player. Players come and go. Club's the most important thing.
Okay, that's brilliant. Just read a couple of donations out quickly before we carry on with this point. Aryan Hadari, he piles in with Canadian dollary something. They're not dollary dues up there. Dom's left. And he says, John, thank you for helping my grandma cross the street yesterday. It really means a lot. Please donate 80 million for us to sign Pepe. Start writing that check, John. Start writing that check. Danny, the GFP, donates £2 and he says, tell Jason to stop banging his keyboard. Point taken, Dano. I apologise. Jackosaurus piles in and he says, has Coz completely tarnished his legacy? He's played 357. That's brilliant. So, Si, before I come back to you on that, I think the one thing, okay, I look at this and I think, okay, you know, they're being strong or sending a message out to other players with regard to Szczęsny. But if you look over the last 12 months and the way we've handled our business, we've let probably not the most important player, but our most important midfielder in playing well go for nothing. A £50 million player every day of the week. Okay, or 40 abroad, whatever you want to call it, right? For nothing, because apparently the coach didn't rate him. They've seen the manager hang him out to dry in a press conference at the end of the season regarding the Watford game. When we needed strengthening in December, we brought in Dennis fucking Suarez, which made no sense. So, and now we're treating the club captain in public with statements like that. If you're Lacazette or Aubameyang, Si, what are your thoughts on that? How do you read that? And has Coz ruined his legacy?
I think for me, I think the club have gone about it the only way they could go about it. I think if you've got a player who, no less, the club captain, outwardly refusing to play and train with the first team and go on tour, I think you've got to do that. I think it shows it would be an awful message if they just bended the knee to him in terms of, you know, you can do whatever you want. And if I was Lacazette and Aubameyang and see he'd have done that, I'd be like, oh, Christ, we can just do what we want. Whereas this is showing, look, no, you can't just throw your arms in the air and throw your toys out of the pram and get what you want, because it can't work like that. I think Coz, for my opinion, has really damaged his reputation. Massively so. With a fan base, I don't know how the fans will feel, but I can't see you looking at it the same way. This is the club captain at a time when the squad is having a lot of young players come into it, as any pre-season tour. You take a lot of young players. And imagine those young players, you know, 18, 19 years old, And on the flight, they're about to go on the flight and says, oh, the captain's not coming. He's upset he's not got his move. I mean, what sort of example does that set?
That's fair enough. But if he's not turning up, they don't have to pay him. Okay. When he does come back, or if he does come back, they can make him train with the kids.
Mm.
There are other options available to them. That's my point, okay?
The other option could have been, I mean, the debate about his pay will be interesting because he'll argue if he's training in the 23s, he's training. I imagine Arsenal will contest that and certainly won't want to pay him his full wages.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The debate will be, the other option you could have done is you could have left Koscielny at home and you could have said, oh, he's got a problem with his Achilles. So we're leaving him in England to do some individual work here. And then they could have sold him in that window, whatever, that could have done that. But I think the club have done the right thing if he's gone about that way where he's completely refused to go. I think there's no reason to, you know, protect the player. He's lost that right.
Fair enough, pal, fair enough. I think you've put it across really, really well there, to be fair. John, coming back on you. First of all, the legacy part of it. And then just a final roundup on what you think on this.
I think in the short term it will, certainly. It depends what happens, like how this all resolves. If if a club comes in and offers the price that we want for the player, then and he moves on, then maybe it resolves and, you know, a year's time from now people kind of chill out a little bit about it. So I don't think his legacy is going to be, it's not like Van Persie or Fabregas or something like that, who, you know, went about it in a more, I don't know, vindictive way. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I mean. As for final thoughts on it, yeah, I just agree with Simon, to be honest. Whatever it is, we've given people a captain's armband. Like, if you want a player out of Arsenal Football Club, just give him the captain's armband and he will just fucking leave. And even if we don't sell him, he'll just refuse to play. It just happens every time, doesn't it?
Yeah, I got to be honest, I slightly disagree on the way the club have handled it, but they are between a rock and a hard place. I'm not going to, you know, I don't like the way they've handled it, but... You know, would I have done any different? I don't know. With regards to Koscielny's legacy, you know, there's a string of high-profile games where he fucked up. That's his legacy, and it's a shame. Talk about overrated. It's beyond the pale. But he came back this season, last season, and he did well for us. So I really like the guy, but c'est la vie.
The frustrating thing as well, just quickly, is that all last season, you know, when Koscielny had his injury problems and there was the debate about the captaincy, a big thing that won Koscielny the captaincy and a big reason why he's kept around the place was his example to young players and his attitude. And he's just completely gone against that, which is the most disappointing thing, I think. So I agree with you. There's probably, you know, an argument saying maybe the club shouldn't have been this strong in going about it. But I think it's probably just an indication of how angry and disappointed they are at the situation. And us as fans at the moment, as people have pointed out, we need to hear from Koscielny's side, which we haven't. I'm sure if he gets his move eventually, we will. But at the moment, it's the club controlling it. And until the player says otherwise, then that's all we've got to go on.
Yeah, and absolutely.
In short, Jace, fuck him.
I absolutely give the fuck off, he can. Who the fuck do you think he is? You know, I'll be funny. Carpenter will be crying, but there you go. Right, in the box, we have Ron Ree, Rudy Rastlos, Lars Goran N, Nicky Wilson, the McManus, the magnificent McManus, Loki 73, Cactus Jack 81, Rich is in the box. We're going to have to get Rich on soon. Hey, Rich, how you doing, pal? So let's move on then, guys. Now, John, first of all, to you, William Saliba. I've never, ever... Matthew Hudson's there as well, and Auntie, and 235-100. Hola, how are we? William Saliba, I've never seen him play. Couldn't tell if he's good or not. There was the story about us, the scum coming in and gazumping us on this transfer. I'm annoyed about it, not on the fact that, okay, we get gazumped, because that's going to happen in football. But when the club have made such a big thing about getting young talent in and, you know, developing that young talent and forget about loaning him back for the first season and all that business, But if they really believe in this player, John, shouldn't they have tied this deal up sooner? You know, shouldn't they have made sure, right, this is some guy, this is a guy who can anchor our defence for the next 10 years.
Mm.
Let's make sure we get this done. No nonsense. Get it sorted. Get him in the stable and best bolt the door.
I mean, the one thing I would say is that possibly it is already done. Like, we might not know that. They might just not be announcing it yet. Rudy's putting in there that it'll be official on Tuesday once Sentencian's pre-season tour is finished in Washington, which might be the case. As for how good the player is, that bit aside, just quickly, I haven't really seen him much, but Chris speaks very highly of him. And I know we take this out of Chris, but he does know his footballers.
Chris spoke highly of Yaya Sanogo.
Lana spoke highly of him. So there you go. There's a proper tick in his box. I see. Look, remotely sexual, and you took it the wrong way. Sorry, Lana. It's Jason's fault.
I feel sorry for Saliba because I'm dreading what. No, Lana, leave him alone.
But I think it's one of those things you have to wait and see what happens. Transfers are really, really easy from an outside perspective to do, to get finished. You know, agreeing all the contracts. You know, I think the way a lot of football fans sort of think of it is that you just go to the club and say, right, we want to give you this much money for the player. They go, yeah, okay, that's it. We'll pay you this much money a week. He goes, no, I want this much. Come to a compromise, call done. But it's actually, you argue for ages over the price, how much you're playing up front, how many years you're going to pay it off over. In this case, apparently he's going to loan back as well, I think, for a year. That's the talk at the moment. Are we going to pay any of his wages whilst he's there? All these things need to be ratified. Then you have to do things like, especially now with the whole, when are we actually out of the EU? I'm sure all that comes into it as well now for, you know, visas and stuff. They have to look into what might be needed further down the line, that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's as easy as we all would like it to be. Would I prefer it was all done and finished now? Yeah, of course. We would have liked it, say, like last summer, where we had what all our signings were done before pre-season basically started, like our pre-season tour. That'd be great. But we haven't got the same amount of money. The way we're structuring all our deals is going to be different than it was last summer. We actually had some money to spend. So, you know, let's see what happens. Either way, we're not going to see him playing an Arsenal shirt this season, regardless of whether it goes through or not, if he's being loaned back. I hope he does get signed because all the stuff I've heard about him is really, really good. Brand has just said, hate when people have a negative opinion on signing an 18-year-old centre-back they've never seen him play. I've never seen him play, so I've got no idea. He sounds like he's a really good prospect, and age is not a thing that bothers me. You can be an 18-year-old centre-back and be an absolute worldie. Just some people can do it, others can't.
I've never seen this guy play. I'm excited by the thought of us rating him that highly. Mm-hmm. That's an exciting prospect. But, right, Mike, I think it is, from the Gooners podcast, piles in with $1.99 just to annoy Danny. And he says, anyone want to know how Josh Kroenke smelled? No, not really, Mike. I really don't want to know. Full of bubblegum, piss and wine. And I've no doubt, you know. But that depends where your head is. No offence to Josh. I'm not going to badmouth the ownership today. But Si, back to Saliba. I thought now we had a professional management setup who were going to stop all the nonsense with transfers, go out and get it done. If you look at when we had Sven last season, everything was done by now. Everything was sorted. We got everybody we wanted in.
Yeah, I think the difficulty is this summer, and people need to understand it, is that the budget is, you know, £40 million. So nearly every deal is trying to be done in instalments. So, which isn't uncommon, but Arsenal's is heavily in instalments based. They're basically trying to sign, you know, Emery spoke about trying to sign four players and look at the fees involved. So the Saliba fee is going to be sort of £26-27 million. Tierney is at the moment looking towards £25 million. And then they want to sign this sort of wide player. And then you're going to have Ceballos perhaps on loan. So, I mean, the actual fees you'll be paying could be sort of £80 million. But the idea being that the initial amounts you're going to pay will come from that £40 million pot. So that's the difficulty, because all these deals are trying to do a heavily installment base, which I think is why what's helped with Saliba is the fact they're going to loan it back, which is appease Saint Etienne to have it in installments. But the difficulty with other deals is going to be the fact that we can't pay huge amounts up front. It's got to be an installment base. So that's why it's so much harder than it has been in summers gone past, because this is now, what is this, the third season of Europa League football we've had? So
yeah.
So we've had two seasons without that Champions League money. The Kroenke model is, you know, you live within your means, you spend what you earn, and the amount they had to spend is 40 million. So that is the problem. And that's why it's so difficult with these deals. It's because they're trying to do it in installments. So it's going to take longer with deals. With the Saliba one, it sounds like it's pretty much done. And I like you guys, I haven't seen a lot of him play, but he's got to be, you know, a quality player if they're willing to give up a chunk of their budget to a guy we're not even going to see for a season. So it must be a thought process. Look, we've got to get this guy now, because in a year's time, he could be worth twice that. So it's going to be, I think, a difficult window. And we've got, what, 21 days left? If we get all four of those players Emery said he wants, I think that'll be an incredible achievement.
I mean, I got to be honest. I think we're going to spend a lot more than 40 million. I really do. Okay. I think I don't.
Oh, we will. I agree. We'll spend more than 40 million. What I mean is the upfront amount of money.
Yeah. But no, 40 million. You know, look, even when we've lost our big names, they were all in installments as well. You know, we didn't get paid everything up front. We got paid in installments. It's common practice. I mean, maybe the way we're structuring the deals isn't so common. Maybe, you know, we're not as able to afford as much as they want up front, but you know, it's just the way football works, isn't it? The McManus has piled in with a couple of quid. Thank you, McManus. And he says, we need defenders now. We can't rely on Mustafi. Well, you might have to, pal. And to be honest, we didn't make as many mistakes as Socrates last season. So, you know, what are we going to do? These are the players we got. John, you know, you finish off on this Saliba business then, because if he does come in, you know, it's not going to be until year after next. What happens if he gets injured next season, long-term injury?
I don't know. I assume there may be something in the deal. Again, this might be another thing that's structured within the deal in case there is some sort of injury. I don't know. The issue is more the present this season. You know, as McManus just said, we need defenders now.
Yeah.
You know, Holding's coming back. You've got Callum Chambers back as well, who I hope they keep around. I still don't know whether he's going to go or not. But it doesn't look like at the moment, anyway, we're going to buy any centre-backs for this season as it stands right now. Because the only one we have been linked to is as we said, Saliba, who's going to be, or Saliba, I don't know how you say it, he's going to be loaned back. If we do sign him. So, I don't know, rely on Holding, Mustafi, Socrates and Chambers, I guess. It's not the worst back four I've ever seen, you know?
When you look at Lewis Dunk going for 45 million quid.
Yeah, it's a tough market, you know?
It's not easy out there, is it? No. It's really not easy. Okay, that's Saliba done. Now, this one's going to be an absolute belter. I've never heard of this guy until this week. Dani Ceballos, I think. Ceballos. Before we go on to that, Gunashai, 77, piles in with $5, and they say, booty for the Pirates. Well, you know, we're on a baiting night tonight for the Pirates. We're going to be having a little pop at him all evening, so... You know, that'll please him anyway. I think him and Danny will be doing a Pirates special coming up just before the season starts. Look forward to that. So Dani Ceballos, I think it's pronounced that way. It's not. I do apologise. Si, do you know much about this geezer?
I've seen a bit of him play. I've more seen him play at sort of youth level for Spain. Anyone who's watched their under-21s play will know that he's a talented player, and he was someone who, when he went to Real Madrid a few years ago, everyone thought, you know, this was going to be a player who was going to sort of burst onto the scene and, you know, flourish into top midfield. He hasn't really got his chance at Real Madrid, the indication, I mean, this story's originated from Spain, from As and Marca, who both will get heavily briefed by Real Madrid that he was going to be loaned out. Originally, it looked like Spurs might get him. Now it looks like he's shifting towards us. It makes a lot of sense, really, because, you know, it's a loan deal. It sounds like the player, we might not necessarily have an option to buy in it. He wants to get games and then win his place back at Real Madrid. But we need the sort of player that he can be, because he's a central midfielder who's got energy, who's creative, who can score goals. Sounds a bit like that Welsh bloke we got rid of. But he's someone we're going to need to try and fill that gap. And, you know, given it's a loan deal, it makes a lot of sense given the sort of money we're operating in. And I would suspect if we do get him in, he'll be better than the last Spanish bloke we got on loan in January. So,
oh, fuck, I hope so. honest to God, okay, right? Dennis fucking Suarez. You know, I feel sorry
for that bloke because he might be a good footballer for all we know.
I'm not being funny. He looks a nice footballer, okay? But like you said yourself, he was way too lightweight for this league. And what the fuck is Emery thinking? Or he'll do a job for us. Has he not watched the Premier League? And Raul, £4 million we shelled out for that fella. We're mourning about money. We're shelling a £4 million on fucking some guy sitting on the... Don't get me started. And sorry, can you please not mention God anymore, please? Okay? I had to watch his presser this week at Juventus.
He even speaks Italian now. Oh.
It broke my heart. It broke my fucking heart. Honestly, there was a tear rolling down my eye. He just doesn't look right there, does he?
Lana kept sending me pictures just to tease me. I was like, oh, God.
Honest. Oh, yeah, but, hey, you know, that twat Piers Morgan doesn't think he's good enough for the Arsenal. What a prick. Honest to fuck. Don't get me fucking started. Sorry, I wasn't going to swear tonight. I really wasn't, okay? But, you know, there we go. I'm upset. John, have you seen, and thank you to Joe the Gooner, Ceballos, he put in there as the pronunciation. Joe, if you're wrong, I'm coming to get you. Ceballos, I think that's what he put in there.
Ceballos,
okay.
Ceballos. There you go.
Danny Ceballos. Right, okay.
Fucking terrible.
can we get Danny on here to pronounce it for us? He'll know what to do.
So Danny C, we'll call him for now until we get the pronunciation correct. Like Simon, I've seen more of him at the under 21 level for Spain, and you know that team. I mean, they're incredible; they're all great footballers. In a Real Madrid shirt, I haven't seen him. I looked up his stats; he's got 5 in 35 from Madrid, which I'm guessing majority of that is as a sub. I doubt he started in many of those games, if any at all, which is. I know people will go, oh, it's Madrid, it's two-team league or three-team league or whatever. That's still an impressive record for a very young guy. Zidane apparently wants him gone to raise funds. Perez really wants to loan him out and try and get him back because he thinks he's going to prove himself next season at the club. But like Simon, I think if we can get him on loan, if there's an option to buy at the end, that's great, if we can get that in there. If we can't, and it's just for one season, I can't remember who it was. Apologies, someone in the chat put, if we can have him in the away games when Ozil can't be bothered to turn up, it seems like a really good idea. Ah, Ceballos. Ceballos?
Yeah. Ceballos.
Yeah. Oh, Perez's son is his agent. Thank you very much. And thank you, Aaron Adari, as well, for the donation.
You've been awful generous tonight. Thank you ever so much, everyone.
Probably saying it horribly wrong. I think with, like someone's already said about the budget we've got, the way we're having to structure deals and stuff, this is kind of a no-brainer. Emery knows him as a player. Obviously, he knows the Spanish league really well and all the young Spanish talent. And it just seems like a good move for us. We've got a very young group of players who are promising anyway. You know, with the likes of Willock, Maitland-Niles, Nketiah, you know, Reece Nelson and that. And maybe having someone who's around their sort of age, but is at a huge club like Madrid and has had success at the under 21 level with Spain and has been around sort of the players that he's around week in, week out, is a good learning experience for them. So yeah. It's all upside for me, I think, regardless of whatever way the deal is, whether it's loan or permanent.
Look, I've got to be honest here. If we're using the loan market in that way, I think it's a good thing. You know, it solves the financial issue we have. It also, you know, it brings in some young talent. We're going to need that, you know, with you look at the rest of our midfield, they're not the most mobile, you know? Yeah,
that's one thing, you know, like Simon said, I'm not going to say his name, but we did lose a player who was very mobile in our midfield. So Danny Seal will help us out there if we get him in.
Sorry, can you talk, please? I'm wearing that.
I think it's something that's not, in looking at the way we operate in our transfer business, I think it's interesting that we haven't really seemed to have gone out and got, until now with Ceballos, we haven't seemed to have gone out and got a Ramsey-like replacement, which is quite interesting in the sense that are we going to shift how we're playing tactically? Certainly, you know, watching the highlights of the pre-season games, he hasn't really gone for the three at the back anymore. So perhaps that's a shift away from that. But I think this is perhaps could be one of the most important signings, I think, because I do worry in that midfield area we're going to be a bit light otherwise. Just because, you know, the team was so good when we had Ramsey in there. Sorry, I keep saying his name. When we had Ramsey in there, that I think we need to have a player of that similar, you know, attacking mentality, because otherwise it's a bit, you know, Xhaka, Torreira, El Nene.
Hold up, yeah, you've forgotten about Guendouzi.
Guendouzi, yeah. But again, they're all sort of defensively minded, so I think someone like Ceballos could make a big difference.
My one concern is, and I've heard different people talk about sort of midfielder, and do you get a Ramsey replacement? Did you want somebody different and what have you? What was really highlighted on the run-in last season was the fact of getting support up to the top two. Okay, whether they're playing as a one or as a two, it doesn't really matter. You need somebody to get beyond the ball. It's not about their skill set as a dribbler, or you've got to be able to pass and move as well. You've got to be able to do that, and you've got to get ahead of the ball, because you saw that cup final and the running. Yeah, they looked pitiful. Aubameyang and Lacazette looked pitiful. They just didn't know what to do. They had nobody coming off them. They couldn't, you know, play and move. And it's going to be really important that we get, you know, get somebody who can do that, because players we have just aren't capable of doing it. And that's a shame. So that's Danny Ceballos. Who wants this first? I tell you what, John boy. Big Willie Zaha.
My favourite.
Yeah.
No, Chris's favourite, isn't he? Chris's favourite.
Yeah, this is the point now, okay? If we sign Wilfred, young Wilfred, it will boil the Pirates' piss so much, he may explode. So I'm really hoping we sign the lad, okay? I really hope we sign him, okay? Because I'll have so much fun beating that boy for the next couple of seasons. It'll be epic. Apparently, he's told the club when he no longer wants to play for Crystal Palace. He wants to move to the Arsenal. John, go.
First of all, I would take him. I'd sign him straight away. I don't know why people don't like him. We're not a Champions League club. We're a Europa League team. This is our third season in Europa League. Zaha is, a player who bridges that gap between those two competitions. He's got a very good record in the Premier League. He takes the ball, he runs at players, he commits defenders, makes them back heel. I don't see the issue with him as a talent. When people talk about fees, yes, okay, that gets different. If it's, you know, all of our money and we don't sign anyone else, then no, I don't think that's a wise move. If you can do it and structure it in a way that the Arsenal want to, and we can get him, you know, even if it costs 50 million or 60 million, this is the thing. We're not, if we got him for 60 million, we're not paying 60 million up front. We might pay 20, maybe, you know, 25 at a push, and then it's over the however many years. Could you get a better player for that money? Possibly, maybe. I don't know. The difference is Zaha comes in, he's already got Premier League experience. He knows the league inside and out. I think people look at his Man United spell and Like, he was very young. I think being away from London, a lot of his friends and family was a big blow to him. I think he acted a little bit stupid whilst he was up there. It's going to happen when you're young. And sometimes clubs and players just don't fit. Doesn't matter how good the player is. Can happen to anyone. It's happened to some very, very good players in the past. So I think it's a good deal to go for if we can pull it off. The only other one they're talking about who plays a similar sort of role is the Brazilian kid.
Everton
Suarez, sort of, yeah. Something, I think it is. Who,
Suarez, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen absolutely nothing of, don't know anything about, but there's a guy on Twitter I follow who watches loads and loads of Brazilian football, and he said basically if you had and it was a choice between Zaha and this Everton guy, he would take Everton. But yeah, that's and to be fair, I trust him on Brazilian football. But with that comes the big risk of you can get yourself a Neymar not Neymar because he's not going to be that good, but you could get yourself a Richarlison, who I think is a very good player, or you could get yourself a, it was a twat Man United bought that was awful. Cleberson, is that it?
Was he Yeah.
World Cup winner, Cleberson, please.
Yeah, World Cup winner. Yeah, I know. Very weird. So that's a riskier move that might cost you less, whereas Zaha, I think, is a safer bet. Now, there might be someone on, mainland Europe you can get for less money. There's talk about Fekir going for like 25 million to Betis. I mean, I'm not sure why we're not sniffing around that, to be perfectly honest, but there you go. But yeah, for me, I take him.
Yeah, it's one of those. I like the talent. The money being spoken about to him is ludicrous. Mm. I mean, we had Paul Price on the mental health specials, who's a big, who's a Palace fan, and as he said, he's worth 80 million to us. Well, that's fine. If he wants to leave, and we're not prepared to pay 80 million quid, and it's a one horse race, you ain't getting 80 million quid.
No,
I mean, I'd max pay 40 for him, absolute max.
The thing is, it depends who breaks ranks in terms of coming out and maybe saying something openly to the press, whether it's Palace or Zaha,
yeah,
or Arsenal, whatever, on this thing. Generally, it's going to be the player, I guess. But yeah, so yeah, we'll see what happens with it. But I'd take him. I think he's a very good player.
Okay, Si, with your journalistic hat on, how do you see this playing out? What are your thoughts?
It's going to be, I mean, the interesting thing is going to be whether we see Zaha, properly go and put out a statement or make a claim that he wants to fully go and leave Palace. Because we saw, was it a couple of weeks ago, just before the African Cup of Nations, around then, his brother came out with a statement saying, he wants to go to Arsenal, supported it as a boy. Then he was at AFCON and it all went quiet, rightfully so. And now he's back. He's trying to get that move again. The thing with Palace, it's a very difficult time for Arsenal to try and get the player out. A, because of Wan-Bissaka already going, and it's a bit like what we had with Sanchez and Ozil. Sanchez left, and it was like, look, if Ozil goes, there's going to be a mutiny here. So we've got to do whatever we can to keep this player. And we gave Ozil a contract that now everyone pulls their hair out about. It's a bit like with Palace now with, if they lose Wan-Bissaka and Zaha in the same window, that is, furious for the fan base and almost unthinkable for them. That was the thing before the window. Palace were coming out and the statements and briefings they were giving was always that we're never losing both of these in the window. So they're going to be so hard to negotiate with now. And the only way I can really see it happening is if Zaha fully goes in and fully throws the toys out and says, look, no, I want this move, transfer requests, statements. That's the only way I've seen it, because Palace are going to fight so, so hard to keep him. But it's either going to be bonkers money or Zaha's going to force it.
Okay. It's a difficult one, isn't it, lads? I'm not really sure what to think on this. I like Zaha as a player. I think he gets a bit of a hard time. You get some of our fans. I'm going to mention the Pirate here. He'll excuse Guendouzi's falling about. Because Zaha cheat for exactly the same thing. They're both cheating. It's part of the game now. It is half the Premier League, does it? Chris, I love you, by the way. But there's double standards applied everywhere. I just don't know what to make of it. Si, do you think we will sign Zaha? Yay or nay?
I don't think Arsenal will sign Zaha. I think he will leave Palace, though.
Okay, John, same question.
I think it's Arsenal or he doesn't move.
Ooh. Mm. I would say it's a tie break, but I just can't be asked to answer my own question.
I would definitely take him Arsenal. Having had the joy or not joy, considering them and Selhurst Park had the least Premier League goals last season of covering Palace, he is a very, very good player. No, I think he's been off the seats, isn't he? Yeah, I think the interesting thing would be at Arsenal is that at Palace, you know, everything went through him. All the play went down the left-hand side. He had the sort of freedom to do what he wants. So that will be the interesting thing to see how it works. But, you know, he has got that ability where he can create stuff. You know, he can beat four or five players and smack the goal. And the reports that you're reading, you know, more recently from Sky, who are the ones who broke the news this afternoon about Zaha wanting to leave, in the sort of statement or the report that Sky put out, was saying that Emery, it was after the 3-2 game when we lost to them, that he said, look, Zaha's the guy I want. And, you know, we've seen him play against us and cause him all sorts of problems. And I really think he would make a huge difference, because Arsenal have needed a wide player with pace, with goals, for I don't know how many podcasts, probably about 400 fucking podcasts. So I would definitely take him. And I admit the money is a bit crazy. But as you know, you said when you had the Palace fan on here, he's worth 80 million to Palace. What's he worth to Arsenal? For me, probably 50 million, I think. But I don't think Palace would sell for that.
Yeah, it's a strange situation. I just look at some of the players available, like Fekir, etc. And, you know, I think about the players I know nothing about who have got talent out in the continent and you can get for a lot cheaper. But, of course, we have a homegrown quota to think about as well. A lot of people seem to be forgetting that at the moment. Big shout out to Jackosaurus. Thank you for the donation, pal. And he says, Danny C is a cracking porn name, to be fair. John, your thoughts on Danny C as a porn name?
I quite like it. I might have to look it up and see if it is one, actually. Give me a second.
Okay, back to you, Si. Kieran Tierney, mate. According to reports, say that it's done, that he will be joining us. Then you see other reports saying that it's all off. I don't know what to think. Give me your thoughts.
Well, judging by Neil Lennon, was it Wednesday night? Last night, said they've had two bids. None of them got near the valuation. Again, Celtic are in a pretty strong position. They've got a good amount of cash because they've sold big in the past. You know, they sold Dembele last summer. But it will be a case with Celtic, less so with Palace, that I think Arsenal can get closer to that fee and get it done. It's probably there if they want. The difficulty is for Arsenal, really, is that it's looking like it's going to be, you know, £25 million. Obviously, we won't be paid all up front, as we've been discussing earlier on, but that's a big chunk of money to play for a left back. And I know long term, we need to replace Nacho. Kolasinac, for me, isn't a left back. He's a left wing back. So he's fine if you're playing three at the back, but I don't like him in a back four. So that does make sense that you want to sign someone there. It's just whether my concern with Tierney is that it becomes too expensive and they think we can't justify spending this amount of money on him. And I know he can play as a centre back as well, which is part of the attraction. I know he's 22, but I think there may become a point where it's like, This is too much of the budget to be spending on left back, which, in my opinion, is not an area that Arsenal desperately need to strengthen in this summer. It's one that could wait, I think.
Okay, John. Now I have a slightly different view to Sion on this. I think, you know, if you look at the way we defended last season, you know, we signed a DM who didn't really fulfil that role, was up and down a lot, and, you know, kind of out of position, never covered the back. The centre backs. Also, you had Nacho with no legs. You know, not able to get back. You've got the two wing backs, full backs, up high a lot of the time. And Kolasinac, quite frankly, showed a lack of desire to get back at times. Would Tierney solidify our back four and help us defensively? And therefore, you know, give us a bit of stability that we desperately need. Or can we get as good a player on the continent?
and like the amount of time you can keep him at the club, and even if you did sell him on, he's got sell on value. He's going to have a long-term career at the club, and to be able to have two flying fullbacks or wingbacks, whichever way you want to play. And as Simon said, the fact he can play centre half as well. If you have him one side and you have Hector the other, I mean, that's brilliant. And we know how much Emery loves to get his fullbacks forward, get him to the byline and do the pullback and stuff. And when that works and he's on song is when we played some of our best football last season. It was few and far between, but when it did happen, it was some of the best stuff we saw. So I would go for it. Is there a better left back out there? I don't think there's one like at his age, is what I would say. I don't realistically see another one you're going to get at that age who could be at the club that long. And the other, he's got that weird thing as well of, because he's a British player, he's less likely to want to go abroad. So if you did sell him, all right, you might end up selling to a Premier League rival, but that just means his fee's going to be even higher than it would if you sold him on the continent. I know, which is a very weird thing to think about further down the line, but they're all ticks positives for me. Everyone raves about him, says he's fantastic. I've seen bits and pieces of him, and when I've seen it, he looked really, really good. But yeah, if he was at the club for 5 years and you sold him, you're going to make a profit. And you've got a left back for 5 years. You know, you can have him for longer than that, but that's fantastic.
Okay, cool. I have no opinion on this, to be honest with you. Whatever's going to come about is going to come about. Si, do you think we signed Tierney?
My concern is, I think it just may get too expensive for them. I would, if I was going to have to punt it. It's a really tough one. I think it's going to be really tight. If they go in for that, if they go for Tierney in the way they're probably going to have to financially, I think you'll only end up with three, not four players that Emery wants. That'll be the cost, I think. I think you could get Tierney, Saliba, Ceballos. I think you'd then struggle for that sort of wide forward that you'd want, I think. I just think you'd be spending a lot on the left back.
Okay. Yes or no?
Yes, I think they'll get Tierney.
Ooh, look at you rocking up with your cock out. Nice. John, same question.
Yeah, easy yes.
Okay, cool. Right, that's that then. Okay, John, this one's for you. We saw this week, and the boys, Josh and Dave Gunaholic, did a great pod this week, just giving you a breakdown. Dave's one of the signatories to the letter, the We Care Do You letter. Statement come up this week. Now, it's been done to death this week, but we're going to talk about it. John, your thoughts on the letter, and then your thoughts on Josh Kroenke's response, please.
I thought the letter was fine. I didn't have any issues with it. I thought they're all relevant points. You know, the people they got to sign it, some people don't like all of the people on that list. Not naming names. It doesn't particularly bother me who signs it, to be honest. I put a tweet out saying, you know, you don't have to like everyone on it, but you can at least like the sentiment, which I think is good. So I think it's a good thing to see from the fans, a somewhat united fan base for once. I did see some people slating it, which I thought was stupid. They didn't say anything, you know, they weren't attacking the club or anything like that. They were just asking for a bit more clarity on things and what they think the club should be doing. As for Josh Kroenke's statement regarding it, I mean, it's the sort of thing you saw from Raul and Vinny. The problem is, he can say all that and you can say, oh, well, it's just typical PR spin stuff he's just going to put out, and that's all it is. It's just a load of guff. He could genuinely mean it. I don't know. I don't know the bloke. I've got no idea. The one thing I would say about Kroenke is, and I said this, I think I was on, I might have been on the Gooners podcast, and I think I maybe said it on here before the end of the season. They've only just taken control of the club, like 100%. It's not been however many years. I would like to give them some time to see what they do. The begging and pleading for him to pour money in, why? the club hasn't been run like that since they've been there. They're not going to change it. So I think the self-sustaining model is fine. Don't go complaining about teams like Man City and Chelsea and whatever. If you then want to turn your back on all those statements and say you want our owner to come in and chuck all his money in there, I think it's nonsense. People have just jumped on. I think some people have overreacted to the Cronkies and the whole get the Cronkies out of the club before they've even seen what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I liked the way the letter was set up, okay? Because it wasn't antagonistic.
Yeah.
It wasn't slagging them down. They've only just taken over, you know, full control, as you said. I don't think there's any point in name calling them. You're not going to get anybody on side with that. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on and that's been said, which I find pointless and pathetic. I didn't like, I saw a couple of tweets having a go, and there were a couple of, I got to be honest with you, wank stains talking bollocks of a stuff that, quite frankly, you know, fucking nothing about. I'm not going to name names, but I found it utterly pathetic having a go at the fans getting together trying to do something positive. The statement by Kronk, by Josh, was corporate bollocks. But what do you expect him to say?
That's the thing. Not, even, you know, if he comes out bleeding heart and doesn't use all the corporate language, people are going to go, oh, we're just saying that to try and appease the fans. So it doesn't matter what he says. I don't think he's in a lose-lose situation regardless.
Absolutely, okay. I thought the letter was sickening a pint, okay, but I thought fair play to him. He's responded.
Yeah, because he didn't have to. That's the other thing as well.
Yeah. You know, give credit where credit's due. They've responded.
Yeah.
When they talk about management structure in place, I look back at the last, well, since Ivan's gone, and don't get me wrong, I've no time for Ivan. and Ivan's part of the reason we're in the situation we're in at the moment. He's a major, major part. But we've seen Ramsey go for nothing. We've seen Dennis fucking Suarez come in, you know, which is a waste of money. And as opposed to the last summer transfer window with Sven, things are left to the last minute again, and we seem to be dithering again. So I question that management structure, okay? The flip side of that would be you've got to give them time, you know, they're still settling in. Okay, fair enough, but don't give me bullshit videos because it's not honest, it's not refreshing, it's bollocks, okay? But to be fair to Josh Kronk, he responded, he's given an interview, he said, get excited for this transfer window, let's wait and see, you know? There's no point in asking people who own the club outright, okay? There's no point in trying to get them rid of them. They don't have to go. They don't have to go. You can't force them out. Even if you leave the stadium empty, you know, for one game, it's not going to change a hell of a lot because if they put the right structures in place, people start flooding back through the gates. And that's all we want is, I suppose, I really like this movement. I think it's positive. I don't see any point in name calling. I think it's just, let's hope they get their act together and succeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only good things come out of this, in my opinion.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, I mean, fingers crossed, there's going to be human error. We know that there's mistakes going to be made. We can live with that, but you know, it started an engagement, which I think is good.
And it's brought a lot, you know, the majority of the fan base together as well, which is something I didn't think I would see ever, to be perfectly honest, the way the Arsenal fan base have been split over every player and every transfer and every, you know, manager decision in the past.
And this is the thing. I don't mind people questioning the movement. I got no problem with them questioning it. I got no problem with them disagreeing with it. But some of the bullshit I saw, the name, petty name calling again, I thought somebody's trying to do something positive, you know, let it play out. Let it play out. And if you believe in it, keep the pressure on. Tweet that Arsenal account with that hashtag every day. Because the more you tweet it, the more they're going to take notice of it. Si, I want to ask you this particularly with regard to, you know, your profession, okay? Your thoughts on this as a journal. Okay, and then your thoughts on it as a fan, please, because I'm really interested to see how you see it from both sides.
First and foremost, I thought on the campaign, from a like a PR perspective, I thought they coordinated that like exceptionally well. I mean, they hit every major newspaper. They had it running on Sky. I've seen a bit on Twitter today where it's been on like the news in India. It was trending on social media. Like, fair play from that. The coordination of that I thought was superb. Also, the coordination of having 16, you know, different signatories come together, different fan groups, bloggers. From that point of view, you know, I thought they handled it exceptionally well from a PR point of view. And that's why the club had to respond, really. You know, I mean, I think the plan was that Kroenke was probably always going to speak to journalists on that tour in the same way that Gazidis used to. But the fact he responded so quickly and in the manner that, you know, he did an open letter, he did a video with the club, he did a sort of huddle with journalists, which, in fairness, I have to say to the Gooners podcast, if any of you guys haven't, they've put the full audio from the huddle up, and it's much more different, I think, listening to the audio and listening to the way Kroenke speaks and the reflection in his voice. You do get a bit more from it, and also they go in a video explaining about how it took place at halftime, things like that. So that's actually quite interesting, and you can get a bit more context to it. And from a journalist point of view, the best stuff from Kroenke, you know, the most newsworthy stuff was in that huddle, I think, the things he said. You know, the letter, I agree with you guys, it was quite PR-y, but what do you expect? It's an open letter. Yeah. The stuff in the actual huddle, from a media point of view, I mean, there was one, the line that stood out for me was where he was like, you know, we've got a Champions League squad on a Europa League budget. And that, for me, said it all. You know, that summed up where it was. And also, and listening to the audio of it, you know, I personally felt there was passion from him. You know, and the issue for him now is to back it up in actions. You know, that's what they've got to do. And I thought, to be fair, in fairness to the huddle, given it was only 10 minutes, limited amount of time, by the sound it was in a cramped place, the guys did a good job and they got good stuff out of them. From a fan point of view, I thought the campaign was good. I thought the best thing about it was that it's now opened the dialogue. And that, for me, was, you know, Dave mentioned it on Monday's pod, and that was the key. It wasn't necessarily about, you know, driving Kroenke out the club, and it's not a Kroenke out campaign. It's about recreating that connection with the fans and the board. And if it goes any way to doing that, and for me, it already has done that, because Kroenke's come out and put a statement out. And the next step will be to see if on July 25th, when members speak, if Kroenke goes there. You know, it's all about creating that connection with the fans. And I think, judging by the way how quickly, you know, the Kroenke's responded, how quickly Arsenal responded, they understand that, because it was unprecedented to have that many fans come together.
It was amazing, wasn't it? It was amazing to watch. So as a fan, your thoughts as a fan, mate?
As a fan, I think it's, I like the campaign. Partly because it's not a, as I said before, it's not like, you know, a Wenger out, a Kroenke out.
Yeah.
It's a campaign that is looking to, you know, talk, to mediate, to negotiate things. It's not, you know, the banner out waving campaign. It's different to that. And I also think the reason why it is different is that it's united the fan base. I mean, we've all seen those famous, you know, the plane flying over the Hawthorns, or, you know, five fans on a roundabout, or, you know, six fans turning up for a march. I think the fact that so many fans have got on board with it is a proof that it is, you know, it's a different type of campaign. And that's why I support it. And as a fan, how I thought about the statements and the stuff from the club, you know, it's what I expected from an open letter. And I was more impressed with Kroenke in that sort of huddle. And as I say, if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to the audio. You will get a better understanding of Josh than you will from reading a 900-word open letter.
Absolutely. Before we carry on with this, quick shout out, first of all, Jose Jimenez. And he asks, will there be any ABW Live merch available in the States? We will be doing, Danny's going to be doing some T-shirts going down the line this season. You'll have to pay postage over to the States. It's only a few quid, to be honest with you, pal. We did the giveaways last season. To be honest with you, that dried up simply because it's a pain in the arse Okay, it really is a pain in the ass to organize, but we will get something sorted, Jose. Brandon Jason Grosso says Saliba is confirmed, by the way, according to James Benge. Until it's on Arsenal.com, there's not much we can say about that, but hopefully Brandon Jason Grosso is on the ball. Yeah, big shout out to Mike and Andy from the Gooners podcast. I don't know how they've wangled press credentials out there. They must give them away in a packet of cornflakes, to be honest with you. But Mike and Andy, they seem to be loving the US tour, which we're going to come on to in a second. And they did great work there. Really, you know, good for the boys. They're a great podcast. Love going on there. And they're two top blokes. So I haven't given that a listen as of yet. But Danny is putting a link in the live chat to that audio as we speak. So fantastic. Kunashai 77 says, sexual favours, Jace. Well, I'm a bit embarrassed now. I'm going pink. Purple. I always go pink. Right, shut up, Jace. Kunashai 77, behave. John, it's a difficult state of affairs, isn't it? You know, the Cronks may feel, well, you know, before I go kind of on this, I'm no lover of the Cronks. I'm not. They didn't invest in the club. They bought this club as an investment. It's a business to them, okay? And Josh may be passionate about it. I don't know. I haven't heard that audio yet. I'm yet to make my mind up. But they have to run it responsibly as a business as well. So, you've got to play both sides of the coin on this. They may turn around and say, well, hold up. We spent 50 million quid on Lacazette, 50 million quid on Aubameyang. We spent 70 million quid last year. We've actually put money in. We have spent money, you know, Xhaka, Mustafi, both 35 million quid each. But it seems to be we've lost our way as a club. And you can turn around and say the change at the club is unprecedented because, you know, it's been 20 years since, and other than David Dean going, has anything changed? Should we expect a bit of turmoil like this? Or because I feel the turmoil in the last 12 months has not been managed as it should. And I think some of the actions of the club have not been great. What are your thoughts on that?
I think they've got a few things wrong, obviously. I think every football club gets stuff wrong, doesn't matter how good they run. The issue is that you've taken away a guy who, for the past 20 years, has, for the most part, run near enough every facet of the football club. You take him away and then you have a CEO who steps away very quickly afterwards, which was kind of surprising. You have other guys come in, so then that role has to be filled again. So they switch the way they're going to do the hierarchy because Gazidis leaves. Sven comes in but doesn't actually end up getting the job that he really wants. But they think they can placate him and say, no, it's fine. You can still do all these sorts of things, but you're not going to get this position. So he says, no, that's not what I want, and leaves. Things definitely could have been run better, but there was no way it was ever going to be smooth the moment Arsenal walked away. It was always going to be difficult. There was always going to be teething problems. And I'm fairly sure near enough every single one of us on it said it was going to get worse before it gets better. It was never going to get instantly better straight away. But there are good things that have come out of it. Like, I think Per at the academy, I think he gets the club. He really understands it. I think he's done great. I think the Jungberg promotion, by all accounts, has gone down very well. He knows a lot of the young players. The Emery appointment, I think, is a short-term one. And I think it's a sensible short-term one in that he isn't too outrageous in his style of play or anything else, and isn't going to shake things up too much just whilst they try and stabilise and get everyone else in position. So, yeah, it's just a sort of hold your breath and wait and see what happens, to be honest. We could have been a bit better with a few things like Ramsey and, you know, Welbeck, a few other, like
the Sven situation.
The Sven thing could have been better, of course, yeah, but, you know, You can't control
John, the briefing coming out of the club, and I suppose that's why I take the point of view that I do on the cause situation. The briefing.
Was 20 years before that, we had the same thing as well. We said loads of things could have been run better, and they weren't.
No. The way the club briefed against Sven, the way the club briefed against Rambo, I think it's disgusting, to be honest. Though I think, you know,
it's modern football.
It may be modern football, but
join the big boys and do business the way everyone else does it, or don't win anything.
Do it the way we want to do it, and do it better. Okay, but you have a choice.
You're not going to win anything doing it that way.
Yeah, but not being funny, they haven't won anything with the Sven situation. They certainly didn't win anything on the Rambo situation. They're not going to win out of the Kshelny situation. Nobody's winning these situations. So what's the point in briefing the way that they have?
Because you have to start somewhere.
I disagree with that, mate, totally. I don't think there's any need for it. I think you can keep your own counsel on it and do things properly. It's going to be interesting to see the way it goes forward. Si, are you positive that this is going to turn out well?
For me, the jury's massively still out on Emery, personally.
We'll come to Emery later. I mean, the situation with the management structure, the Kroenkes and the fans, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing from Josh Kroenke in the letter was that he sort of spoke about, you know, how we've got the structure in place finally, like sort of ignoring the fact that he's obviously had a majority stake in the club for, you know, a lot longer than he's had, you know, the full majority where it's no longer, you know, people having their own shares. So the way he speaks is that KSC have almost got, you know, from when Kroenke got 99%, you know, full, that is now them fully owning the club. And that is their sort of almost their starting point from where they're going from now. And the difficulty is because obviously we know about Gazidis setting up this structure for when Wenger left, and it's now completely, then Gazidis leaves and they've now had to basically recreate a new structure. So I think we've got to give them, well, the issue is Edu's not really being involved in this transfer window. So we need to give Edu, you know, next summer as well, really. Vinay and Raul, again, you've got to give them time to see if it works. I like the structure of it, of having, you know, the two very different operators. We know Raul's very good in his football. Vinay is more of a business-related person. So I like the way it's structured. And we've never had a technical director before. We've never had someone doing Edu's role. So I think you've got to give them at least a year to try and do it. But I think it could work. I think it could work. Certainly there's scope for, you know, Edu to really flourish in that role as a technical director and for us to finally have what the most successful clubs in Europe have. But we've got to give it time again. And I know the frustration is we thought we had it all in place with Gazidis and Sven. But when Gazidis left, it had to change. So we'll see how it goes from here.
Okay, cool. Again, just to finish this section off, whatever your thoughts on it, if you support the We Care Do You movement, keep on tweeting that hashtag. If you don't support it, it's not meant to be a name-calling exercise. It's meant to be a pressure movement and, you know, sign the petition. Or if you don't want to, don't, you know, but there's no point in slagging people off for trying to do something positive. Okay, people are just trying to do something positive. You know, I'm lucky enough to know a lot of people involved in this, and in the past they've been involved in things I haven't liked and I haven't got behind. But I respect people's right to protest. This is a protest which is not nasty, it's not vicious, it's not, you know, aimed at name calling anybody. It's just aimed at doing something positive for the club, okay? And these guys who are behind this, they've got the right to do that. They have got the right to do that. They've supported this club since they were kids. They go week in, week out. Okay? I've seen people, I don't even think they've fucking been to the Emirates. Okay? And maybe that's because they live in foreign parts, and that's fair enough. Maybe they can't afford to. But they, you know, they're calling these people names. And no offence to these guys who are slagging them off, but you can go fuck yourselves. You really can. Because I think half of you are talking shit. There's nothing in there which is nasty or having a go at the Kroenkes or the club. They just want things to improve. and hopefully everybody gets on the same page. If you go to do at the Twitter page of We Care Do You, you will see a link to the petition if you want to sign it. But keep on tweeting that hashtag, and you know, let's try just something positive. And don't go slagging the cronks off, you know what I mean? That's just gonna get people's backs up, and it's one of those things where you just think, you know, let's be positive, let's be polite about it, and let's have a go. That's that bit done. Pre-season games, boys. We played football. John, have you watched any of it?
No.
Neither have I. Si, have you watched any of it?
No, it's on too early.
It's all right. All our foreign fans, what is wrong
with you? I know.
Why did you get up to watch the football?
Well, it's on weekends a lot of the time, but fair play. I tell you that, you know, whether you're in Australia...
This is why we're getting Jason next week.
Yeah, we're getting Shreds on next week, so it's going to be great, isn't it? But to all the foreign fans, you are magnificent. Because I tell you what, on a work night, there's no way I'm staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's just talk about this briefly, though. You know, we're seeing a mixture of youngsters and old pros against the Charlotte. What are they called?
Colorado Rapids.
Colorado Rapids, sorry, thank you. Then Charlotte later on this week against Fiorentina. My apologies to Charlotte and Colorado. A good 3-0 win, some youngsters scoring, boys. These guys get a bit more first-team experience, even though it's pre-season. John, your thoughts then straight across the side?
Can't ever really read too much into pre-season, but from the little bit of highlights I've seen, Eddie's looked really good, very electric, in particular into this morning's game, or last night, whenever it was, against Bayern Munich. Saka's looked good, Joe Willock as well. So all really good experience for them, and nice for them to meet fans and all that kind of thing. And nice for the fans out in America as well, because we have it. I can't remember last time we toured out there, but we do a lot of Far East tours, don't we? So
what was last season then?
Was it last season?
Yeah.
No, that was Far East, wasn't it, last season?
Yeah, Singapore, I was there.
Yeah, Simon was
there. Oh, yeah, yeah. Year before last, then, sorry.
There you go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, when I get a chance to, I do watch the pre-season games. But, yeah, I'm not as insane as our very, very loyal foreign fans, who are much better fans than me, obviously.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I'm going to read a tweet here. Balls. Si, over to you first, but something caught my eye, which I really, really like. Si, your thoughts on this?
On the pre-season?
Yeah.
Well, for me, the pre-season thing I always like about it is just seeing... It's either about seeing new players or young players. And because I haven't been able to face getting up at 2 a.m, 4 a.m, I've only watched the highlights. But from what I saw, I thought Martinelli looked good, looked really lively. And some of the young players as well, I was particularly impressed with. Saka looks like a very decent player. John Jules is somebody I've not seen very much of, Jules, and he looks a nice player as well. So I think that's always the thing for me with pre-season. I don't read too much into it in terms of, you know, form. Oh, look, we beat Bayern Munich. I'm more looking at it as individuals and young players. And for me, Martinelli might be an interesting one. He's someone who I think if we'd been in the Champions League, I would have said sort of loan out, but now we've got that Europa League, we've got those League Cup games. I'd be definitely giving him the opportunity to sort of play that Welbeck role of being, you know, the Europa League striker, because he looks like he's got a little bit about him.
Yeah, it's more of an integration, this tour, isn't it? You know, getting youngsters involved, getting the team up to speed, ready for the season. The wins and losses don't so much matter so much, you know, they don't count for anything, but it's a fantastic opportunity for fans all over the world to get to go see the team play. You know, I know how thrilled Shreds was a couple of seasons ago, and this tweet popped up on my timeline this week, and I'm not much one for reading Twitter on the pod, but I really, really wanted to read this out. So, Gunnar Becker at Gunnar Becker says, for me, Arsenal isn't about hating on players and complaining about finances. It's about family. In my town, I'm one of three Arsenal fans. The US tour is huge for me. It's the only time I can get to sing my heart out and scream with hundreds of other gooners. We love you, Arsenal. Arsenal in the USA. Coming from a small town in West Wales, there were only kind of three people I knew were Arsenal fans. And this podcast and Twitter has enabled me to interact with fantastic people, you know, get to meet brilliant people. I was at Fifey's wedding a month ago, and some of the guys there, you know, their Twitter names or whatever, but it's a magical thing. And, you know, we remember the running man out in, is it Vietnam? Do you remember the guy who ran alongside the bus?
Oh, yeah, I think it was Vietnam, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he got flown over, and it's just, to see these things is just fantastic. And, you know, if you're out there, go enjoy it and really make the most of it, because I think it's great the club does this now, and I really don't get all the negativity about it. So that's absolutely fantastic. Archie asked a question there. I'm going to answer that. We're going to go to questions now. I know, Si, you've got to go at some point. When you've got to go, just let us know and dodge out, and we'll finish off the questions. Okay, pal? Apologies for overrunning a bit. That's He's got the big thumbs up there. Who's a handsome Spidey?
Not me.
John Welsh is shaking his head now, okay? His position as my favourite has been challenged.
Up the pace, I want to go to bed, come on.
Right, okay, so let's get into these then. First question is, this is to you, Si. Archie asks, was going to ask, what formation will Emery play with these rumoured players incoming?
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting one. For me, looking at the players coming in, if you get Tierney in, it would imply that he's going to play an out-and-out left-back, which would be a back four. Zaha as well would imply, 4-2-3-1, and Zaha can play on the left of that. And then Ceballos could be either playing in that number 10 role or as one of the two in a Ramsey sort of more attacking role. So I think as well, and watching the highlights on pre-season, he might be shifting away from that back three. That might also be part of the thought process with Holding coming back. He might want to play Holding in a two, or also thinking if he can't bring in another centre back, he's just going to play two there. So that for me is, as was brought up by the question, Archie, is an interesting thing. But if it was me looking at the players coming in, I think Tierney's a proper left back, so you'd play a back four. And Zaha, I don't really see how he fits in a 3-4-2-1 unless he plays in one of those Aubameyang or Ozil roles. So it would, a 4-2-3-1 is what I would do if we got the players that being linked with us.
Okay, cool. I'm going to stick with you for this one because I just wanted to get a number of questions in before you have to go. John Welsh can stay up because he was the one who was late. Git. Thunder Road asks, thoughts on right back depth? We need a Debussy type, in my opinion. Bellerin out for the first month and returning from a major injury. I don't want AMN, Chambers or Mustafi to deputise at right back. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that was one that Pornstein actually mentioned at right at the start of the summer. He did sort of a BBC Five Live and was talking debrief for transfers. And he said a right back was a player that they wanted but wasn't a priority. And that is probably the bracket I think it'll fall into, because yeah, essentially, it is case basically when Bellerin's fit, he plays your games, and Maitland-Niles backup. I agree. For me, it's an area that needs depth. I've seen people talking about Danny Alves as someone to come in there. John would probably be better on that, but I'd imagine his wages would be absolutely bonkers. I think it's very low on the list of priorities for me. That is definitely below a left back. Longer term, I think that's something they're going to have to address, because it's a bit like with Kolasinac on the left, where Maitland-Niles, I think he's a good right wing back and he's fine there, but he's not a right back. And Chambers as well, will be interested to see where he plays. But for me, I don't think he's a right back. So, yeah, I just think with the budget, it's something you'd do if you had all the cash, you'd go and sort it out. But I just don't think you can.
The thing with Chambers, he's not got the sort of nimbleness of Hector, the mobility, is he? You know, he's a centre-back or a DM for argument's sake. John, Carly Joel Guna asks, anybody know about the Cissé fellow from Olympiacos?
Unless Gibril Cissé has come out of retirement, I've got no idea. I think he's named something Papa, or is it Papa something Cissé? I
know he's sent back. Papa Abu Cissé.
There we go. See, so I'm not a hipster anymore. Take the summer off. That's it. I've lost it all.
So, you know anything about this geezer?
A bit about him, yeah. Big sort of tall, rangy centre back. I think they are interested. Definitely some sort of interest in him. I think they would like to get another centre back in. I think it'll be a case of shifting one of the others, though. Probably Mustafi, and I don't know where you're going to shift him. But I haven't seen much of him play, but from what, you know, very, very little. He looks like sort of tall, rangy centre-back, quite physical, powerful, which is probably what we don't really have, to be fair. You know, Holding is pretty good on the ball. Socrates is quite physical, but he's not that quick. So it could be something a little different, potentially.
He's good at fist pumps. You're talking about he's coming from a league where Chubba Chubba Akpom was invincible.
Yeah, well, we should never have sold Chubby Chubby Rap Bomb, should we? So,
you know,
that's where it all went downhill.
Okay, so I'm going to stick with you for this, but I want us all to answer this. Are you guys warming to Emery? I think he could surprise us this season. That's from Brandon Jason Grosso.
Dealing with him in a media perspective, he's certainly... English is getting better and you're warming to him more. For me, the jury's still out on him, though. I don't think he's done enough yet for me to convince he is the right man, but I certainly want him to do well. But I wouldn't say I'm convinced yet that he's the right man.
Okay. It's 9:58. Do you have to go now?
Yeah, I probably should go past my bedtime.
Okay. Chat box. Show some love for the magnificent Spider-Man. It's Simon Callings, the London Evening Standard, but most importantly, of ABW. Magnificent as ever, Si.
Cheers, gents. Thanks for having me on. Mate. I'll be back when I can.
Top man. Hopefully we'll get Si on a live show this season, but he's always working. He's such a... I was New York.
New York was lovely, yeah, very nice. That's Spider-Man's home, isn't it? So that was why I went.
I was about to ask, can you...
I hung out in Queens for a bit and just swung around there, so that was good.
Nice, nice, nice.
Cheers, gents. Mate,
thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
it. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, bro. Johnny boy, just the two of us.
Oh, dear. I'm never getting to bed, am I?
No, you're not. Never. No, we're going to be 5 minutes now. That's all we're going to be. look, your thoughts on Emery, mate?
I think he's generally quite pragmatic, and no, he doesn't excite me in the least bit. I think he's fine as a temporary fix, just someone who's steady hand, not going to shake things up too much. He's never not going to be someone who's going to cause a load of problem in the papers or in the training room, that kind of thing. He'll get the guys to train hard, but he's not the manager who I see taking the club forwards and getting us back to where we want to be.
Okay. Brandon Jason Grosso, to answer your question, not in the fucking slightest. I haven't warmed him at all, okay? He's got a blank slate this season. Good luck to him. I hope he proves me wrong. But he didn't really take responsibility for last season. They're blaming anybody else and everybody else. I thought he was the right appointment when he was appointed. But he seems to lack imagination, and I don't have any hopes for this season. But he gets a clean slate, so come on, Unai, do the business, make me look like a mug, and let's win some games. That's all I want for him. John, Archie asks, why did the fans boo Mustafi?
Well, I saw mixed things on this because I saw some people saying they didn't hear any booing and they were at the game. If there was booing, it's disappointing. It's just he's the figure of hate, isn't he? He's the Aboué, Bellerin had it for a while, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Ramsey. Walcott had it for a brief period as well. There's always generally one. I do think he causes a lot of issues in our defence, and I think he makes a lot of problems, but I wouldn't boo him. Like, he annoys the fuck out of me, and I don't want him to be at the club anymore, but I wouldn't. If I was at the game, I wouldn't boo him. It's, look, at the end of the day, it's up to those people what they want to do. They've paid their money. I don't particularly like it, but it's their choice.
I don't get it. I don't get it. You look at his Insta posts and the tweets and what have you. You see some of the replies, and quite frankly, fucking get a life, you fucking moron pricks. It's pathetic. It's fucking hell. You know, we all do something stupid now and again. Let's make no bones about it. We've all done it. I know I have, okay? But it's fucking tweeting people. I mean, is there anything so fucking pathetic? I don't think there is. So, I don't know. I haven't watched the game, so I don't know why they were booing him. It is what it is, okay? But, you know, do we really expect him to perform better? And by judging by our transfer window so far, are we going to get anybody in to replace him?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's going to happen. So.
Yeah, so that's where we're at. The one thing that does annoy me, and it bugs the shit out of me, you see a whole host of players making as many, if not more, mistakes, and they get away scot-free. Oh, he had a good game. He had this. It's just now down to bullshit and just a witch hunt. So, you know, let's go from there. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I'm no fan of Unai Emery, but I'm bloody hell, I'm going to support him this season because I want us to do well.
Yeah.
You can give your thoughts on performance, but other than that, it's not worth a wank. Right, last question of the night. Johnny Boy, Michael Hahnemann asks, thoughts on the goalkeeper situation? Is everybody happy with Martinez as the backup after Cech's retirement?
To be honest, I want to see Leno play every game. So the whole keeper for a cup competition thing annoys the shit out of me. Just play your best goalkeeper. It really annoys me. If you really want to play Martinez, give him the League Cup games. That's it. Otherwise, I'd just play Leno.
I'd give him the Europa Cup as well, the group stages. I'd have no problem with that. I think you do need a sharp backup. I think it's needed. Again, you know, I like yourself, I want Leno to play all the big games.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of happy with Martinez.
I think we've spent a couple of years not spending big money, but wasting, you know, 50 grand a week, you know, on Ospina. I know I gave Ospina loads and loads of grief and stuff, but I'm not saying he chucked
the ball into his own net.
All right, true. I'm not saying he's a terrible, terrible goalkeeper. Every goalkeeper makes mistakes, but it just felt like money we didn't need to spend. I just felt like those games you could have said, no, we'll still play Czech for him, and other ones we could have said, yeah, Martinez, you know, or one of the other young kids can come for it.
Yeah, to be fair, Ospina, okay, when he first came into the team, Wodge, Szczesny had his major blip. You know, he was not reliable. Ospina came in and he calmed everything down. Yeah. Full credit to him. But then after a dozen games, you could see his limitations. And that is, you know, that was heartbreaking to see. Good luck to Spina, but I think Martinez will do okay.
Yeah.
And he's at that age now; it's make or break for him, isn't it?
He needs it. And to be honest, I could see him maybe doing one season as backup and then trying to move to a club to get first choice. It's difficult being a goalkeeper.
It's not easy. Is it? It's not easy. So, any more questions?
I think that's it. I think that is everyone. Yeah.
Oh, magic.
Right. Who's on next week? Because we've got another one of these next week, haven't we?
Right. Well, first of all, chat box. Is 81 of you in there at the moment? I got fucking 49 likes. 49 likes. What have you been doing? Who do you think you fucking are? Do you think you can shell me? You can just duck out to whatever you want. Do you really think you can get away with this? It's just shameful. Can I have 60, please? Toot sweet. Yeah, they're winding me up already, John. I'm not, you know, the season hasn't started yet. They're winding me up already. Mike from Gooners podcast says 49. I like that. First of all, massive shout out J Rob, Michael Hahnemann, Arian Hadari twice, Daniel Sweetman, Jackosaurus twice, Mike from the Gooners podcast, the McManus, and Goonershy 77. Thank you ever so much for your generosity and donating. You're all magnificent. To all of you in the chat box, you're brilliant. You are brilliant. Thank you for taking part. We really appreciate it. We've got a couple of specials coming up. We'll tell you more about those as we go along. Next week, we have Shredder, the magnificent, life-saving Ellis Mel, and the one and only Dirty Pirate, Chris Carpenter, is back. They will be doing the show next Thursday, okay, guys? So tune into that. Josh Dawe and Dave Gunaholic did a really, really great 20-minute pod on Do Week Edge You earlier on the week. If you've missed that, go and catch up with it. It's there. It's brilliant. Yeah, we're going to carry on doing the shows up until the season starts. Thank you for being part of it. Yeah, it's not humbling. It's it amazes us every day, every week. Sorry, John. It's good to have you back, pal.
It's good to be back. It'll be nice for the listeners to have someone who's actually watched the games.
Yeah,
in Shredder. So so that will be a benefit. I've also got some great news as well. Top Gun 2 is out next year. They just dropped the trailer. I'm well excited.
I haven't seen Spider-Man.
Oh, Homecoming?
Far from Home.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet. But Top Gun, the sequel, it's got Tom Cruise in it. It's called Top Gun Maverick. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Fucking hell. No taste, honestly.
You up for completing a third season on the trot?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but watching Mustafi and Socrates play together, I think it'll get me through.
I'm not being funny, okay? It's going to be interesting, isn't it? It's going to be interesting. So on behalf of myself and John, we do care. So we will put out a live show after every single competitive game this season, okay? We look forward to doing it. We look forward to seeing you all in the chat box. Thank you ever so much because you fucking rock my world. John, switch this shit off.